Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. Today we are on lesson number 18 in our Bible study. We're in 1 Peter, so if you have your Bibles, open up there, and we're going to begin in chapter 3, and we'll be going through verses 8 through 12. Our teacher, Connie Stanfill, is here with us. Hey, Connie, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you back, and you've titled this one, Do Not Repay Evil for Evil, but Bless. So I have a feeling this will be a big challenge today.
Yes, I think Peter always instructs us in ways that challenge us, and he's going to show us from Scripture and from just the example of Christ, really, what it is to live in an evil world of sin, but not to retaliate with sin.
All right, ladies, so we're going to start. I'll read the verse, and then Connie will teach. And this one in my version is titled Suffering for Righteousness' Sake, and it goes like this. It says, Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Well, here we have Peter in verse 8 is saying, finally. So that means he's actually kind of making a transition into another section. He's been instructing us about the proper submission and the proper order in different relationships, civil and slave to master, husband and wife in the home. And then now he's talking to all of them. Finally, all of you have unity of mind. And that's a beautiful word. It actually means same think. And we see Paul bringing that up again in Philippians chapter 1. But when believers have the same mind, the mind of Christ, then that changes how they act toward one another, and it also changes how they live. And so, Amy, I'm going to have you read a section from Philippians 1 and then a section from Philippians 2, and it's going to help us frame up what, again, that one mind would look like.
All right, so the section in Philippians 1 is verses 27 and 28 that Connie selected, and it says, Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are understanding or you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. All right. And then the one that you have here highlighted, Connie, in Philippians chapter 2 is verses 1 through 11. And I'll just go through that. It says, So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to those interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Oh, thank you, Amy. That's a fairly long passage in Scripture, but again, Christ is our example of what it means to live for God, and it starts with humility. And again, we're brought again to Christ's suffering, and it that shows that it ends in his triumph and exaltation, which in just a few verses later in 1 Peter here, we're going to be talking about. But I think really what Peter is coming to in this passage as we work through it is he's talking to a group of people who are soon going to have intense persecution. And what they need is to have that unity of mind, that harmony, that love for one another that's going to allow them to support one another through a very difficult time. Mm. And so that's where he's starting there. And so we need to have the same mind that Jesus Christ did in that humility. Going on here in this verse 8, Peter says they are to have sympathy for one another. And literally it means to suffer with. Mm. And truly, as believers undergoing persecution in the church, they did need to feel for and suffer with one another so that they could provide some assistance or help as they were able to, prayer, those kinds of things. And then he says brotherly love. We hear that so often in 1 Peter. He's talking to them about that love for one another, which he was listening when Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends, and that the world will know you are mine if you love one another. And then Peter also writes a tender heart, which is a Greek term, which is really special. It's eusplanknoi, which actually speaks of the internal organs. And the Greeks and the Hebrews and all thought that your heart, your feelings actually were based in the GI organs, the stomach and all. Yeah. And so you know, when we think about butterflies in your stomach, it's that same idea. You're so tenderhearted and compassionate towards someone else that you feel what's going on. We have the same word for us, for compassion, in Ephesians 4:32, when it says, be compassionate toward one another. And so it's a good thing for us to remember. And then finally, he ends this with a humble mind, which is another beautiful, beautiful Greek word. It's tephaphanos, and it really means to think first of other people, to put them first, to say and do gracious things. In some translations, it's actually translated courtesy.
Yeah.
And as believers, if toward one another we are doing that, putting one another first, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And again, Christ is our example. Then Peter goes on and he tells them how they are to respond to the outside world. In verse 9, he says, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. Mm. And the word bless there means speak well of. And so when someone speaks evil about you or to you, you're to have a gentle answer and respond with blessing or truth or love, which we know is not an easy thing on our flesh to do, but that's what we're called to do.
Yeah.
And then it says, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. And so that blessing would be a blessing of God. And it's the same Greek word, really, and it means God speaking good or blessing of you. But we know when God speaks, that corresponds with God's action, because his word fits exactly with what he says. And so if God is blessing you, that means it will be for your good.
Mm.
And so Peter here again is talking about how these believers are to see and live in an evil world where they're going to encounter evil. And what he goes on then is he actually quotes from Psalm 34, and pretty much he quotes and puts in Psalm 34, verses 12 to 16. And again, it's talking about how to live in an evil world. Because it starts by saying, whoever desires to love life and see good days, meaning whoever wants to live well for God, live righteously, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit.
Mm.
That's a good word for us, because if we can control our tongues, we can go far as representing God well. And then it says, let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. And truly, that is a difficult thing also when we're confronted with evil, to actually do good and to love our enemies. And that would mean doing and saying what is best for them from an eternal perspective. And Paul also wrote something about loving our enemies. And I'm going to have Amy read us a passage from Romans 12, which speaks again about that.
All right, Romans 12 says this, and I'm going to pick it up in verse 14 here. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, go so far as it depends on you. Live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
All right, Amy, thank you. I think a scriptural principle that's good for us all to remember is that, one, I think it's impossible to conquer or overcome evil with evil, but we are instructed to overcome evil with good.
Yes.
And the one thing someone can never force us to do would be to love them, but love conquers everything. Mm. And so when we're confronted by evil, if we are able to love the enemies through the power of Christ, that's when God can work in and through us to actually change hearts and to bring them to Him.
And Connie, I'm just convicted by those verses that love here isn't the butterflies in the stomach or the feelings in your heart. Love is an action. And so if we can overcome any feeling of bitterness when something unjust is happening to serve our enemies, that is true love.
Right. And truly knowing what their eternal state would be if they continue on that path they're on.
Exactly. They are perishing for all we know. And so we need to have that heart, that compassion for them.
Thank you, Amy. That is just such a beautiful picture of what love looks like. What Peter ends with this little section of then, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." And again, if you are in Christ, if you are held in the Father's hand, if you belong to Him, He is watching over everything that happens. His careful attention, His eyes are upon you, and whatever happens in this world, even suffering, is something that He's allowed, and so we can rest in His goodness.
Amen. Well, ladies, that is so encouraging. Love your enemies. Know that He holds you in His hand. You are His precious daughter. We're going to leave it here for right now, but I know that Nancy and I will have some thoughts when we come back, but remember, you can check out the Bible study verses and grab the study guide and these 10-minute podcasts, all available for you, however you would like to use them at naomistable.com. We will be right back.